Arizona may be the best testing ground in the country for the heart and soul of the Republican Party.
Yeah, we're looking toward a re-election campaign for Republican Senator Jeff Flake, whose new book condemns Trump's hold on the GOP. And voters here are not as concerned about the economy, maybe, as some of those in the Rust Belt.
That has positioned the state as the perfect gauge of Trump support within the party and among independents who can vote in the GOP primary here, according to Eric Bradner. He's a political reporter with CNN. Bradner recently sat in on three focus groups held by Democratic Super PAC Priorities USA here in Phoenix, one of Republicans, one of millennials, and one of Hispanic voters. And he heard what each of them had to say about our country's president. It turns out they are quickly running out of patience. I spoke with Bradner about these focus groups, and we started with the group of Republican voters, most of whom voted for President Trump in 2016. Here is his main takeaway from them.
So they're really antsy and quite critical of Trump. They didn't necessarily expect super specific policy achievements, but they did expect him to have accomplished something on health care by now. They did expect him to have shaken Washington up and delivered some sort of more measurable achievements by this point, beyond the things that it's easy for, would have been easy for any Republican to do, right? Getting a Supreme Court appointment through the Senate and sort of seeing the stock market increase, rolling back some regulations, those sorts of things.
Sure.
In particular, they're tired of his Twitter account. They wish he would rein that in. And they say they're not going to give him too much more time. Most people said between 6 months and a year. That's before the midterm elections, which means, you know, if Republicans at that point truly are frustrated and things haven't changed, the president hasn't figured out a way to work with Congress, these voters, people who should be with him and with his party, could be ready to extract a heavy toll in the midterm elections.
Was their reaction to Senator McCain and his sort of maverick moment here, his vote against the Republican health care bill last week?
Yeah, you know, I expected a lot of anger about that, but really, the response was basically, well, Trump started it. A lot of people pointed to, you know, his 2015 comments about Senator McCain's war hero status, and basically said, well, if you don't want him to vote against you, you shouldn't pick a fight with him. So that surprised me. There wasn't a ton of anger with McCain, and I think that's in part because the Republican health care bill was not politically popular in the first place. The details of it weren't exactly what people had been clamoring for. They didn't get the impression that it was going to give them better health care at a cheaper price, which one focus group participant pointed out that the president had promised.
Right, right. Did you get the sense listening to these voters, especially the ones who voted for Trump in the election, that they were angry with him, that they wanted to be with him, but they were fed up?
Yeah, absolutely. These are a lot of folks who are sort of temperamentally with him, who are angry at Washington, who are angry at sort of corporate and lobbyist influence, and that theme really rang through, but they see President Trump as becoming sort of a part of that. They bought him because they sort of bought the personality. They bought the idea that he didn't owe these people anything. He wasn't part of their so-called swamp, and so he could really shake things up quickly. And now that that hasn't happened, they increasingly sort of lump them all together. There's no real love for Democrats in this group, especially the group of Trump voters. They didn't really separate congressional Democrats from Republicans. They just sort of wanted to drown them all in the same basket, and they were kind of throwing the president in with them at this point, which is something they hadn't and wouldn't have done just a few months ago.
Right. That was such a driver of his campaign, that he was a Washington outsider. Did you get the sense, I wonder, from any of these Hispanic voters or the millennial voters who were involved in these also, that they felt there was any difference between Republicans, President Trump, and then also Democrats?
Perhaps a bit of a difference, but even those focus groups made clear that Democrats have a real challenge. They don't have a message that stands out to these people. They don't have a sort of a figure for them to be galvanized behind.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, obviously individual races mean individual candidates will sort of take their own stabs at offering an economic message and contrasting with Republicans and President Trump, but the party overall didn't seem to have a real brand. The folks running the focus group asked people if they thought Democrats sided with corporations or regular people, and most people said corporations, which was interesting to see because that's very much not the brand Democrats want to have and to be selling.
So on the flip side of that, even with Republican voters, did it seem also that Democrats didn't have a brand in the sense that they didn't have anything to hate there, that there was nothing to argue against?
Yeah. I mean, there was a clear sense that Republicans know they control everything on Capitol Hill at this point. Somebody brought up Nancy Pelosi and made one critical remark, but for the most part, Democrats didn't come up. Republicans knew that the president doesn't really have much to complain about in that regard. There's no Democratic-controlled chamber of Congress at this point, so it really is about figuring things out with his own party. There wasn't a lot of blaming Democrats, and that sort of shows the political cost of being in power in Washington.
All right. Eric Bradner is a political reporter with CNN. Eric, thanks so much for coming on the show to talk about this today.
Sure thing. Thank you.